Alan Wright, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of his latest book, The Power to Bless.
This man has heard the sound of the rushing of rain. People who persevere in prayer do so because they have heard the sound of the rushing of rain, and they're praying until the miracle is born.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Miracle Man, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I'd like to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here's Alan Wright.
The woman who is travailing in labor does not do so because she wishes that she would have a baby. The reason she travails in labor is because there is a baby. It just hadn't been born yet. There is no such thing as a woman who travails in labor and after the sixth hour says, well, there just must not be a baby. I give up. I'm going home. That's not what happens. When you're in the sixth hour and there is no sign of a head crowning, there is no baby yet, you just keep laboring because the baby is coming. And prayer is like that, beloved. God has ordained it that you, as His people, would be used by Him in prayer in the same way that a woman's labor is used in bringing about the miracle of birth. The labor doesn't bring the miracle. The miracle's already taken place, but the labor is participating in the miracle. And you are the people of God, and He has ordained it that your prayers are going to be powerful and effective because there's the sound of the rushing of rain. We got to pray. Amen. I've known people who have a gift of prayer, who have a gift of intercession. I've known people who pray like that. And to listen to them sometimes, you might go, is everything okay? Because they sound a little bit like a woman in labor. Oh, God! But if you're one of those people, I'll tell you, maybe this is you and you don't know it. And you wonder, why do I wake up in the middle of the night and I got like a knot in my stomach about something and I don't know what to do about it because somebody's on my heart? There's only one thing you can do. Pray until that baby's born. You release it to God. And then go back to bed. It's a gift. But it's one that all Christians are called to pray. Six times the servant goes, nothing. Six times. No good report yet. No visible evidence of the answer to prayer. Could I just say to you parenthetically here, this time between you hearing the sound of the rushing of rain and the rain actually starting, that period of time is where the devil would love to tempt you most. It's the moment between when Jesus was tired and hungry from 40 days in a dry wilderness is when he was most tempted. And the demons mocked him through the voices of those that gathered at the cross. Look, he saved others. He can't save himself. But the resurrection was coming. And there was no shortcut to glory. The rain is coming. And if it doesn't come tomorrow, or the next day, or the next, or the next, or the next, it is no cause for ceasing to pray. I hear the sound of the rushing of rain. May your ears be blessed to hear it. Whatever it is that you need to hear from God, I'm here. We're here to bless your ears to hear it. And on the seventh time, please don't forget this, six times nothing, seventh time something. Way more times where there was nothing than there was something. That's what life's been like with me, with God. Six times of like, is the fulfillment here yet? No. You live more of your life in anticipation of the fulfillment than you do the fulfillment. But the life of anticipation of the fulfillment is wonderful. That's what faith is. And on the seventh time, he comes back, he said, I see something, and it's real small. It looks about like the size of a man's hand, a small cloud rising up in the distance. So 3.5 years, no rain, and then one little tiny cloud that's rising up from the sea, and he comes back, and he tells Elijah, I see one little cloud. And Elijah's like, that's it. All right, that's it. I think that's it. He's like, he's been praying. Oh, God, let it rain. I told him it's going to rain, God. When is it going to rain? When is it going to rain? Let it rain. Small cloud. Okay, good. All right. Here it is. Yeah, this is like baby's born, and you're like, I forget.
Praise God.
Good thing somehow the women forget, or there wouldn't only have been one baby ever born in the history of the world.
Amen.
And the heavens, verse 45, no, first, at verse 44, he said to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. Well, the mercy of God comes up to the evil king that he's been confronting, and he says, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a warning. It's starting to rain now, and you better hurry up because it's going to be a flood. One little cloud in the sky. And this time Ahab obeys. He's become convinced after 3.5 years of drought. And verse 46 or verse 45, a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And verse 46, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What happened was Elijah had the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, and he hiked up his robe, and he ran faster than the chariots. I was just telling you, that's what happened. I feel a little like I can jump a little higher sometimes in the middle of worship or something. I'm just like, whoo, you know, but he outran the chariots, and that's the story.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Ever feel like something's holding you back, as if you lack an important key that could change everything? Is there someone you love who seems stuck? You'd like to help them, but how? What's missing? Blessing. We all need a positive, faith-filled vision spoken over our lives. You can learn how to embrace the biblical practice of blessing through Pastor Alan Wright's new book, The Power to Bless, which quickly became an Amazon number one bestseller after its recent release. Until now, the hardcover book has only been available through retail sales, but this month, Alan Wright Ministries wants to send you the book as our thank you for your donation. When you give this month, you'll not only receive the best-selling book, but you'll also receive a free 5-session video course in which Pastor Alan teaches how to bless and covers content not found in the book. The video course includes a detailed study guide perfect for personal growth or small group discussion. Make your gift today and discover the power to bless. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Allen Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastorallen.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Allen Wright.
Hey, can I tell you a miracle story? While we're talking about Elijah this morning, I want to just tell you some stories about the rain that I've seen. I love hearing stories off in the distance. I love hearing stories. I like hearing from Michael Hayes, who's in India, sending a report every month and hearing miracles. I love hearing all of them. But I just want to share some of the ones I've seen with my own eyes. And this really was a story that began with some people that wanted to see it rain, but not in a literal sense. Mickey and Treva Thigpen, sometime before this millennium, sometime around 98, 99, they started walking their neighborhood and praying. It's a good thing. You get some exercise. As you walk by the house, you pray for whoever lives there. Lord, bless that household. Bless the people that live there. If they don't know you, help them to come to know you. And would you open up the opportunity, Lord, that we might be able to share something of the good news of the gospel with them. Mickey and Treva started doing this. Treva heads up our intercessory ministry here at the Village campus. Mickey's been our longtime executive director, but at that time, they were just new here. And they would walk by particularly this one household where they'd only seen the woman very occasionally. She'd like dart out to her mailbox, dart back in the house. Didn't come out of the house. Didn't know what was going on. But they prayed for her. Her name was Grace McCracken. And what they didn't know is that Grace had grown up in a home of brokenness and alcoholism. It had become so severe that her mother at one point had said to the kids, "I don't even know if I can keep you guys together." She worried about losing her mother. And later in her life, when her mother had grown sick, Grace had made an ungodly vow. She said, I'm never going to let my mother cry. I'm never going to let her get sick. I'm never going to let her die. Things that are ungodly vows because you can't control those things. And what happened was it worked a terror into her heart that would cause anxiety attacks that were crippling and an ongoing anxiety that would keep her from even leaving the house. She got to the point she couldn't drive a car and she was depressed and she tried everything that she knew, every form of therapy and every antidepressive. All of it was not touching it. She wasn't being healed. She was getting no better. Such that by her testimony, by the spring of 2000, Grace had seriously thought about taking her own life. Mickey and Treva were just walking by and saying, "Lord, bless that household." Maybe they just heard in their spirits the pitter-pat of a little bit of rain. Because it was a miracle. Grace would say she has no idea how it was that she responded. I think we sent a piece of mail that came to her house, invited to come to a course we were hosting, Alpha. And she came, and I met her the night that Alpha opened up with a dinner that night. I remember it. Because I shook her hand and she couldn't look me in the eye and she was trembling like a leaf. And in my heart, I just prayed for her. She came to church. She says she doesn't know by what power she was able to come to church. She hadn't driven a car in years. And she got up and she drove herself to church. This is God. And she wept during the worship and went back to Alpha on Wednesday night. And Nikki Gumbel, the video teacher, said, "Christianity, the gospel, it's a message of something that God has done for you, and it's free. It's utterly free. The gift of salvation is free. Jesus died for you. And you can accept this. It's free. He said, but it's like someone's written you a check and you need to take it, endorse it, and deposit it. And all Grace said was afterwards she walked up to the leader, Bruce, and she said, I want that check. I want that check. And she accepted Christ. And she came to church on Sunday, a brand new baby Christian, and yet still teeming with all of this anxiety and all of this depression and all of this in her life. And she just said, I don't know how. She said, it was literally God moving my legs. I had no idea how I had strength or courage to come up and let a prayer team pray for me, but she came. And for 2 hours, she said the Holy Spirit just came upon her, and she was bathed in the love of God and broken and wounded places in the depth of her soul were just healed. So much so, I saw her the next Sunday, and I remember shaking her hand. I was like, this is the same woman I saw on that Wednesday night. And she was confident. She was beaming. She was excited. She was looking me in the eyes. Her hands were everything in her life had changed. Her husband, Denny, later said, they went to the beach not long after that. He said, for the first time in years, she noticed the seashells. She saw the color of the sky. It was a miracle. I saw it happen right over there. I think she was going to die. But instead, she's been very much alive over the last 18 years, blessing all our lives in so many capacities. Well, Grace said she wanted to be baptized. And so that neighborhood where Mickey and Treva had been walking and praying for the houses, there's a family there, Doris and Jerry Hall, who are in our church now. Doris is what I was telling you about earlier back there at the Welcome Center. And Doris said, we can have the baptism back here at our pool, because by this time Doris and Jerry had started coming here, and they'd been praying for other people. Doris had let a friend of hers, Kim Kale, hear the testimony of Grace, and Kim accepted Christ, and she wanted to be baptized. And they'd been praying for another neighbor who was Jerry's brother, Bobby, and he wanted to recommit his life and be baptized. And there was another lady that came to faith, and she wanted to be baptized, and we're just going to have a pool party. And so I remember standing out there that day, because at the center of this, we wanted one other miracle, and that was we wanted Denny, her husband, to really come to know the Lord, because he wasn't walking with the Lord. And we talked to him, and he had seen what had happened in Grace. And I remember on that day, I was standing down there at Darcy's in front of the pool, down waiting. You could see walking down the road, and here comes Grace walking down. She got her towel on, and you know, and I look, and there next to her is Denny, and I look, and he's got a swimsuit on, and he's got a towel over his shoulder. And I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I went up and said, Denny, I said, you want to profess your faith and be baptized? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, God gave me my wife back.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
God sends rain into every form of drought. I know there's a drought in the land. I read the same newspapers you do. I see a land that is so arid and parched, scorched, that it is broken and fragmented. I see it broken with every form of division and racism and judgment and hate. It's a drought. But listen. Listen. I hear the sound of the rushing of rain. I hear the sound of a kind of mercy that is found only in the gospel, that proclaims that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, black or white. I hear the sound of the rushing of rain as the only answer for such a fragmented world. The drought is bad. It is hot. It feels lifeless. But remember Elijah. And listen, God is not about to leave forever people in drought. I hear the same sad reports. I read the same newspapers. I know that men have abused women and parents have abused children and institutions have abused morality and leaders have abused their position. It is a drought. But listen. Listen in the spirit. And you will hear the sound of the rushing of rain. It may start as a small cloud that rises from the sea of God's grace. But it is coming.
Hallelujah.
Whatever it might be that leaves your soul feeling parched, the only answer is the rain of the mercies of God. His grace is true and sure and rich and abundant.
Amen.
So, people of God, Elijah was just as human as you are. And God changed the whole atmosphere through his prayers.
Amen.
Please don't stop praying. Because there is the sound, though it be in the distance, and it may seem faint, there is a sound of the rushing of rain. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. Today's teaching, The Rain Man. It's in the series called Miracle Man, and I've got Alan here in the studio with us, back with additional insight on this for your life and today's final word.
Ever feel like something's holding you back? As if you lack an important key that could change everything? Is there someone you love who seems stuck? You'd like to help them, but how? What's missing? Blessing. We all need a positive, faith-filled vision spoken over our lives. You can learn how to embrace the biblical practice of blessing through Pastor Alan Wright's new book, The Power to Bless, which quickly became an Amazon number one bestseller after its recent release. Until now, the hardcover book has only been available through retail sales, but this month, Alan Wright Ministries wants to send you the book as our thank you for your donation. When you give this month, you'll not only receive the best-selling book, but you'll also receive a free 5-session video course in which Pastor Alan teaches how to bless and covers content not found in the book. The video course includes a detailed study guide perfect for personal growth or small group discussion. Make your gift today and discover the power to bless. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, you said don't stop praying. I think that's a good reminder for us all. Don't give up hope. God is still on the throne and still cares.
Well, there's a beautiful picture here, isn't there, of a servant that Elijah sends to go and look to see if he sees the rain coming. And he sees nothing. And he goes 7 times. You know, that biblical picture of completion and like 7 days of a week. And it's sort of like, the week's not over until it's day 7, and the story's not over until it's over. And so if you've been praying about something for even a long time, I think God says, keep praying. He's hearing you. And then one day you look and you see, it might look as small as a size of a man's hand, but the cloud rising, and soon the sound of the rushing of rain.
Today's Good News Message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.